Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, I say immigration. You say?
I say the system's busted, and we need to fix it, and we need to fix it the right way.
That's it? The president comes along, and he talks to the nation, and he tells us what he's going to do because the Congress won't move on this. Is he right?
Right. Well, I should point out, you and I are speaking on the day the president is going to give that speech. So without prejudging it and without knowing everything that's going to be in it, let me just say this. You know, whatever the president's going to do or not do is not a substitute for getting a real bill, a real law through the Congress that fixes this broken system. That's what I support. And that looks like securing this border, verifying the workforce, and getting these folks to pay their debt, get right with the law, get back in the line, and put them on a path to legalization and ultimately citizenship if they meet a bunch of criteria, like learning English and keeping their nose clean and not getting in trouble and breaking our laws again and everything else. That's a common sense bipartisan solution. That's the bill that came out of the Senate. It's not perfect. I don't mind people coming forward with changes or amendments or ideas. What I do mind is that the Republicans in the Tea Party in the House of Representatives have sat on this thing for a couple of years, and you know the president's all frustrated, and so he's taken this action. But there are people who are going to like what the president does. There's people going to hate what the president does. But all of us can agree that it's not a substitute for getting a bill. A bill is best. And so what I want to do is I want to fix this thing permanently with a law.
What is your district? What are you hearing?
What I hear is that people want it to be fair. They understand there has to be a common sense solution to this. They understand that people can earn citizenship by paying their debt, by paying a big fine, getting in the back of the line. You know, they don't want people who were doing it the right way to be disadvantaged because somebody jumped in front of them in line and broke the law. They know it's silly to think we're going to, you know, deport 11 million people. They don't like that people are living in the shadows and aren't paying into our Social Security and Medicare and paying taxes and doing it the right way. They want it fixed, and they just want it to be fair. And they can't understand, frankly, why folks down in Washington can't get together and get it done. The Senate did a bill, and it is a pretty good bill. It's not perfect, but it will secure the border. We'll make sure that employers are accountable and are only hiring legal, you know, documented workers. That's what I mean when I say verify the workforce. And it will create a path for people who do it the right way and pay their debt, get in the back of the line, learn English, to come out of the shadows, start paying taxes the right way, paying into our entitlement programs. We need a younger workforce. We need to grow our population. These are all the good things. You know, Alan, I think people should know as well, for the last 4 years, the net in migration from Mexico is zero. We do not right now have significant illegal immigration from Mexico. We had a big problem with folks from Central America on the border this summer that folks would have heard about, and that was a serious situation, but different. So the fact of the matter is we can take this moment to solve this problem once and for all. And the growth of the Mexican economy and the proliferation of universities and of the industrial sector means that the Mexicans can grow their economy at a rate where they start to look a lot more like Canada than the country we've known in the past, meaning we don't have massive illegal migration flows. So the real problem is not, you know, what happens if it just keeps going on forever. The real problem is, what do we do with the folks that are already here? How do we do it fair? How do we get it done in time to do us some good? And the president's action is one that he's taking out of frustration. It's not a substitute for getting a bill.
We only have 5 minutes left. I wanted to ask you whether you're depressed.
I'm depressed?
The reason I ask you that...
No, I'm not depressed.
The reason
Should I be?
No. Well, maybe. Let me. Both houses of the Congress are going to be Republican next time.
Right.
Do you find this depressing?
You know, look, it's not my job to ride the national political up and downs. I mean, it's my job to come into this burning building and to pull out some things that need to be saved for the people I represent. I mean, it's my job to come down here and look around this place and say, who can I work with and what can we do together? And a lot of them are Republicans. And if you look at the first 2 years I spent in Congress, if you look at the work I did to help our vets with disability claim times, did it with a Republican, that's a law today. to invest in our dams, did it with a Republican, to get the Farm Bill passed, worked with a lot of Republicans, fighting Lyme disease with Chris Gibson, investing in infrastructure, all of the things we need to do, getting the Superfund site cleaned up in Hopewell Junction, working with a Republican town supervisor, get a bridge built, New Windsor, Republican supervisor, George Green. I mean, most of the people I have to work with at the local level in the district I represent are Republicans. Why on earth would I look around and say, gee, what am I supposed to do? They're not my own party. That's an excuse we use too often. I'm very proud, and I think it's a reason I got sent back to Congress, that I am getting results and not caring so much about what party people are in and just focusing on what's possible. So is it going to be easier or harder? I don't know. I'm hoping that we can keep getting results the way we have.
You're on the Agriculture Committee. Talk to me. Are farmers getting happier, or are they getting more depressed?
Well, one of the most important things we did in my first term is we got the Farm Bill passed. That was critical, and it is the best Farm Bill that has ever been written for the Hudson Valley. What do I mean? I mean, we wrote crop insurance reform that will help our folks locally. That's still coming through the pipeline, but we're getting there on that. We did important provisions on flood mitigation, which is very important in Orange County. We have great provisions on conservation that everybody should feel good about, whether you live on a farm or not, because that's going to protect our open spaces. That's going to protect our local agricultural economy. And those dollars recirculate in the car dealerships and hair salons and small businesses all over my district. And it's going to help our dairy farmers in particular. We have to fix the broken H-2A program, which is the immigration side of the agricultural economy. That's why real immigration reform is critical, and there's more to do. But I'm very happy about being on that committee, and I was just talking to Congressman Chris Gibson this morning on the House floor about an agenda we want to put together for young farmers to get them student loan forgiveness if they farm, to get them help with access to credit, keeping the cost of land lower, because we want locally sourced, healthy produce. It helps our economy. It's good for our farmers. It's great for our kids. It's great for everybody. And so that's why I'm working on farm issues.
It sounds to me like you and Chris Gibson are getting to be best pals. Is that right?
I have a lot of respect for him. I will tell you, I think that, you know, we are not in the same party, as you know. There's certainly things we disagree about. I respect the fact that he wore the uniform for 24 years. He's a decorated veteran. He commanded troops in Iraq, and he's conducted himself in Congress in a way that has I think allowed the two of us to get things done because we have very similar districts. I mean, we are working on Lyme disease together. We are working on stopping these energy price hikes and got a bill through the House of Representatives when nobody thought we could. We were talking this morning about the next steps on that because we got to get through the Senate this year to stop it. He and I are working together on a bunch of other things, from the hospitals that are combining in the region and the different reimbursement rates, to issues that affect the access to care and quality of care for our veterans and everything in between. So, look, I want to work with anybody who wants to get things done, and I found in Chris Gibson somebody that'll do that.
We only have 1 minute, so I want to ask you this. He took a pledge of 8 years in Congress, a term limit, himself. Do you think that was wise?
Was it wise for Chris Gibson to take a term limit pledge?
Yeah.
Listen, maybe I'm in the minority on this. I like term limits. I think you should throw us all out after a certain period of time. I don't think people need to serve for years and years and years in the Congress. There's great people who served a long time, and when you meet them, you think, well, thank God that we've got your experience and your commitment to this. But I really think we have too many people hanging on in this institution. We have too many people who are in safe seats who don't feel challenged. There's a lot of dead wood, just to be blunt. And it's one of the reasons people look at their Congress and they're frustrated. I'd like to see more people serve. I'd like to see middle class people having access to being in Congress. One of the reasons that money is killing us is because it costs so darn much to run for Congress. If you're a teacher or a cop or a firefighter, how are you going to run for Congress? How's your kid going to run for Congress? That's wrong. You know, this ought to be a citizen legislature, and part of that I think is coming in and making a contribution, and then letting somebody else have a chance. So. I get where Chris is coming from on that.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always great to have you with us. It's very good of you to give up time out of your very busy schedule, and we know how busy you are. And again, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Alan. I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving.